Amen. You know, it's a very real thing to worship God. It's very real that through the blood of Jesus, He allows us to come before His very presence and worship Him. Since Pentecost Sunday, a number of people have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit here in this church. After I preached on what happened on Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was outpoured, and last Sunday I preached on what the Holy Spirit will do in you. I mentioned in my Friday email to you a book by Francis Chan entitled Forgotten God. It's about the tragedy of not understanding and embracing the wonderful third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. And for this reason, many churches don't really work in the power of the Holy Spirit, and their ministries are greatly lacking, so that they're made up of good organization, good music, good programs, good fun, good food, good, but not holy and not powerful. In Acts 2, on the day of Pentecost, the waiting disciples received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and that Jesus promised them in Acts chapter 1. And their lives were changed forever that day. Jerusalem was changed. And the church leapt into being. And because they had received a whole new germ of life that they had never had before. Something rare and wonderful had transpired. And after Jesus told the disciples to wait in Jerusalem until they be endued, everybody say endued. That means coming upon to make provision, to transfuse, to clothe, to put on. They would be endued with power from on high. After Jesus told them to do that, what did He do next? Well, He told them, of course, in Acts chapter 1 to wait for the promise. But before He could give the promise, Jesus ascended into heaven right before their very eyes. Now, this message today, I want you to get your eyes up. I'm not going to give you 6 ways to have a better family today, or 7 ways to succeed better on your job. I want to take you up where the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost do their business. And I want you to soar with me like an eagle today. I want you to rise up and say, I'm better than this. And I'm going to move on up to what God said I could have. He ascended into the clouds right before their very eyes, about 500 people. And Peter said, and we all saw Him. It's hard to gainsay it when 500 people see it. We all saw Him. He ascended into heaven. And the scripture says in Acts 2:33 that therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, He has shed forth this which you now see and hear. This was Peter's interpretation of what had happened to them on the day of Pentecost and what I've been talking to you about recently. It's because Jesus finished His work here on earth, and He rose up and was seated at the right hand of the Father because He was exalted. Philippians tells you the whole story. Because He humbled Himself, therefore God has exalted Him highly and given Him a name above every name, and said, Son, sit on My right hand until I make your enemies the footstool. And that's up to the church. We are going to make the enemies God's footstool. The glorified Christ, that means the one who was on earth but has gone through all of that, has been resurrected and seated on the right hand of the Father, has now sent forth His Spirit. It's the Spirit of the glorified Christ. It's not as they received the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. It is now the Spirit of the glorified Christ. And I'm going to give you a quote from A.J. Gordon explaining this. The Holy Spirit would communicate not the earthly Christ, but the heavenly Christ, reunited with his eternal power, reclothed with the glory he had before the world was, and re-endowed with the infinite treasures of grace that was purchased by his death. But now there has been a change in operation. You see, Jesus was sent to earth by the Father, and now he has ascended back to the Father, and now Jesus has sent the gift of the Father, which is the Holy Spirit, from heaven to earth to stay here until he brings the church back to the bosom of the Father for all eternity. Woo! And rather than take the time at this point to teach you the nine gifts of the Spirit, which operate through the church, I feel to take you to another level of understanding to be embraced about the Holy Spirit. You know, our phone book ad says, flowing in healing and the gifts of the Spirit. Someone wrote on a visitor card recently, I think your phone book ad is wonderful. It says flowing in healing and the gifts of the Spirit. That's because we want to delineate and we want to declare to the whole world that we're not playing any games about Spirit-filled or not. We want people to know for sure we believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, and healing is a usual part of what we're involved in. And these gifts, of course, would be word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits. That's the revelation gifts. And then gifts of utterance, prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues. And finally, gifts of power, healing, working of miracles, and the gift of faith. Hopefully you've received teaching on these gifts. There has a lot of teaching out there. If not, be sure to get Dr. Pickett's book. We still have it available for you for $4 because we want you to have this. It's a wonderful book. She has wonderful revelation. In case you haven't noticed, I'm on a campaign to get people to embrace and understand the powerful Holy Ghost who is in us and among us. And I want to minister today in an area about the Holy Spirit you would very likely not have received teaching. So we can soar and eat some eagle food. Everybody ready? There are nine gifts of the Spirit. But there also is something different called the seven spirits of God. Or the sevenfold Spirit of God. It's not that the spirits are divided. It's that the Holy Spirit manifests himself. And the Spirit is manifest in seven ways. I once heard a man minister. I was so intent on receiving more of his wonderful teaching. It was wonderful teaching on the Holy Spirit. You ever been like that? Just like somebody's teaching you, saying, this is what I've always wanted to know. The way you're teaching, you're giving me what I want to know. You're taking it down out of the ivory tower theory, and I understand what you're talking about. And then he said the Lord had revealed to him about the seven spirits of God, and I thought, wow. And then he said, and if you want to know about what that means, you'll have to come before the throne and get it for yourself. Well, I knew that Jesus had the sevenfold Spirit of God resting upon him. The scripture says that in Isaiah 11. By the way, this is why you ought to be studying Isaiah with us on Wednesday night. My. I don't know if you believe me or not, but I'm telling you, there's wonderful. John and I were not here Wednesday night, but we've both listened to the tape, and we loved it. You need this kind of teaching if you're going to grow. Already read the book of Isaiah? You ain't read it like Jane teaches it. Now, I knew that Jesus had the sevenfold Spirit of God resting on him. Isaiah 11 says this. And Revelation 3:1 says, write this letter to the angel of the church in Sardis. This is Jesus speaking. This is the message from the one who has the sevenfold Spirit of God and the seven stars. Remember also that the scripture tells us that Jesus had the Spirit without measure. John 3:34. Now, let me just sort of do a little interlude here. Have you ever had the thought when you read someone's life like John Lake? I don't know how many of you. I've got that big, thick book about John Lake, Smith Wigglesworth, and Maria Etter. And I have read all of those books. And John Lake has one of the most outstanding, phenomenal ministers you could ever imagine. Documented, 5,000 people were healed in the city of Spokane under his ministry. And when he was in South Africa, they tell about times where every person in the room was healed. And what discernment. He tells about the time where there was a plague that had taken over, was killing everybody. He was working with them, just going from village to village, helping them just bury the bodies. He said it was so sad, it was so pitiful. And he and another man began to cry out, and they began to cry out to God. And he said, then my eyes were open, and I saw the Spirit like a flock of goats. I can't envision that. I saw the Spirit like a flock of goats rising up to take over the demonic power that had brought this plague. And immediately the plague was lifted and there was no more death. Now, when I see a person help people that much, I pant to understand, what did this man have? I read his account of when he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I do believe, of course, that people who have a special call on their lives are going to receive unusual manifestations and unusual visitations and experiences. And he tells about when he received, at first he had an experience, and then he prayed for several months. I think it was 7 months, something like that. And then he received another experience. In other words, it wasn't a thing of anybody putting empty hands on an empty head, and he said banana backwards, and now he has it. Oh, how we have degraded the Holy Spirit. But he said, when he received, he was sitting across the room from a woman who had been crippled with some sort of arthritis for 10 years. Couldn't walk, couldn't stand, could hardly move. She so wanted to be healed. There was a man standing there praying for her. But he said, as he sat there, the Lord began to baptize him gloriously in the Holy Spirit. His experience was that he felt electricity start from the top of his head and go totally throughout his body down to his toes over and over again, like he had become electric. And he said, I got up and went over to where the woman was, and I was afraid to put my hands on her, afraid I would shake her to death. And not much problem with us doing that unless we're just hyped up. He said, so I put my fingertips on the top of her head and barely touched her. And she got up out of the wheelchair and was completely healed. See, this man had a phenomenal ministry. I believe he tapped into, of course, the baptism of the Holy Spirit and something beyond. What kind of a man was Paul or John that heaven would be open to them and they would see such things that they could write them and they become the rule and the pattern and the revelation for our very lives for eternity? What kind of thing have they stepped into? You see, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is when that wonderful power comes into us, and then the Lord has more and more to give us. There was a man who had a revelation given to him on the sevenfold Spirit of God. In the 1980s, the mid-80s, He said he had a visitation of the Lord over a 7-month period in which this understanding was open to him. It's a period of 7 months. Now, you won't like the second part, but maybe you won't have to do this. And the second part was that after that period of time, the Lord said, "Now for a season, I will teach you through suffering." What does the scripture say? Something like, "I learned more in the house of mourning than in the house of mirth." There's things to be learned when you can't do anything but learn in order to survive. There's things to be learned. He said he was told that there was coming a day ahead when this revelation would begin to be clearly taught, because the Lord would be preparing his people for a much greater level of spirit of anointing. How many of you can say, "Oh God, let this be that day"? Do we ever need a greater level of the spirit anointing? In more recent years, I've noticed a few people teaching on this, maybe two or three others besides this man. But it seemed to happen suddenly. People started teaching on this. Now back to the man who told me to get before the throne and find out for myself. It's not about him. It's about what God showed me. I want you to look at Revelation chapter 4. Revelation. Revelation is not plural. It's revelation. It's in the back of your Bible all the way over there. I want you to turn to Revelation chapter 4. And beginning at verse 2. "And immediately I was in the Spirit..." This is John now. "And behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne." Now, the book of Revelation given to us as a book to show us how to worship God, not to tell us everything that's going to happen in the future. There are future things told in there. I knew about a pastor once that decided he was just going to wade into the book of Revelation and take his congregation with him. He said, "I'm sorry I did it, because I nearly drowned us all." But I'm going to tell you that the book of Revelation is fantastic to show you how to worship and have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. "Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God." Now we know that Jesus has the 7 spirits of God, and the 7 spirits can be seen or experienced around the throne of God as 7 lamps of burning fire before him. Where else are these lamps and spirits mentioned? As I said to you earlier, Isaiah 11, verses 1 through 3. If you'd like to turn there, that'd be great. Isaiah 11. I don't like to lose your attention by suggesting a scripture to you, but Isaiah's about halfway through the Old Testament. Maybe you can find it. You ought to buy a Bible with tabs on it. I wouldn't be without one. Sometimes I still can't remember where they are, and I've been at this a long time. It's Isaiah 11. "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him." This, of course, is Jesus. "And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord." Now, let's count them 7. 1, the Spirit of the Lord. 2, the Spirit of wisdom. 3, the Spirit of understanding. 4, the Spirit of counsel. 5, the Spirit of might. 6, the Spirit of knowledge. And 7, the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. I want you to notice about these 7 spirits that they are not, with the exception of the spirit of might, they are not knock-em-down, drag-em-out gifts. They are gifts to put inside of you what you need to understand, wisdom that you need to have. Understanding the will of God, getting His counsel, understanding, that is, being able to really lay hold on what you think you know. And think about the spirit of the fear of the Lord. I have a little bit of this. I think some people never heard of it. We live in a day where people want God to be their big buddy. He's not, and He's never going to be. You can call Him all those names you want to. He's not your big buddy. He is your holy heavenly Father. And Jesus is your friend, but He's also holy. These spirits work together in pairs. Now, as you see it there, the spirit of counsel and might work together, for example. Then, the spirit of wisdom and understanding work together, if you're marking that in your Bible. The spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, and then the spirit of knowledge and the spirit of the fear of the Lord. I can't, of course, don't have the time that I could teach on that, but I'm going to give you an example out of one of the pairs. If I can get us to see and get hungry and be encouraged and get our minds and hearts open up that, you know, I can tap into some powerful things if I begin to really believe God and know what else He has out there for me. That's what I'm about today. I want to take the spirit of counsel and might as an example. See, the counsel comes first so that we will know how to use the might. The counsel comes first so that we will know the advice or plan. Then the might comes to do what He has said for us to be done. An example is the spirit of counsel gave Moses the plan. But none of the 10 miracles were Moses' idea. I mean, he was horrified at the whole thing. But then the spirit of might came and worked the miracles. The spirit of counsel gave Him the plan. The spirit of might then, paired with that, gave Him the power to work the plan. What if you and I could begin to move into some realms like that? Well, I'll tell you, if we don't begin to study and learn and understand about it, we can never enter into it. Everything you have, you came because somebody preached the truth. Salvation, baptism, the Holy Spirit. Any of these things, you cannot tap into it until somebody gives understanding, until the Word breaks through on our heart in revelation. You remember that Paul prayed for the Ephesians to have the spirit of wisdom and revelation. You know, Dr. Pickett points out in one of her books that it's not the word of wisdom. It's the spirit of wisdom. And he wanted something much higher for them because that's what he operated in. The spirit of wisdom and revelation. The seven spirits, I've shared with this some because I took, on a Wednesday evening, I took several Wednesday evenings and I taught on just the Holy Spirit. And so I have touched on this before about the seven spirits of God. But the seven spirits of God, now here's the way that we can understand this the best way. The seven spirits of God are like seven rivers. Remember Jesus said in John 7, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And that's not just a gusher or just a lot. I believe it is also like a multiplicity of streams coming forth. Or what do you call that when you have a light? What is prism? You know, so that you have the different aspects of it. He prayed, seven spirits are like seven rivers, and then the gifts would be like the tributaries that come out from the rivers. When I taught on Wednesday night, I gave you guys a little handout and I showed you how each of the rivers has three of the gifts as a tributary coming out of it. You remember that? And so when we understand this, we can see that there's a much greater river of the Spirit of God that he wants us to open ourselves up to, that will take us into a much higher place of just living and dwelling and being with him. Here's the problem when people try to understand the gifts of the Spirit. They see the gifts of the Spirit that as sometimes little happenings that occur and we get excited about it. You know, like sometimes somebody might prophesy through the spirit of prophecy, the gift of prophecy, and we get excited about that. Now, this morning when that song was coming forth, where Carrie stood and shared that with us, I'm sitting there thinking, Carrie, should I prophesy? Jane got up from the piano. I said to John, she's getting ready to prophesy. About that time, Carrie's looking for a microphone. You know why? That's the way the Spirit was working. And so the Spirit, the prophetic Spirit, was working at work in the house. Prophecy always, and really, Carrie, I sort of didn't have the verbiage that you had with that, and that was perfect. I remember when Duncan Williams' prophetic team came, I remember what Audrey, you know what Audrey said to me? She said, the Spirit of God is everywhere here, and there's no place the Spirit of God is not. And what this work was waiting for is for some prophetic group to come and say, let. I just remember that she said that. When a prophetic person says, let, something begins to happen. Now, let me tell you a blow-you-away story. Everybody ready? Everybody knows who Victor Boiding is. He's our house prophet. He's from... that comes from other countries, let me say. He prophesies from Africa. He comes here, and we accept him as a prophet in this house, is the way I meant to say that. And he prophesies here, and we know that we can trust what he says. You know, Scripture says in the Old Testament, if what a prophet prophesies, if it doesn't come to pass, you don't have to fear that prophet. Well, I really do fear what Prophet Victor says. It needs to be followed, because this man, he's not going to gamble away the great gift God has given him on just taking chances. That doesn't mean he can't make a mistake, certainly. But he's to be trusted. I was with him at Sandra Kennedy's church maybe 4 years ago or something like that. And I had made the arrangements for the meeting. I had set his airline ticket. And maybe... it wasn't the first time that he had been there. But as we moved into the time where Prophet Victor began to prophesy, the accuracy of it was totally mind-blowing. I mean, for example, there's a lady here, your license plate is NANA888, and you drive a red sports car. The Lord has given me a word for you that the enemy wants to try to kill you in that car, but because we're praying, revelation is redemption. And because the Lord has revealed to me, that goes over top of what Satan's plan is. Think about it. See, if you're in one of these upper streams, you can know what Satan's plans would be. God would give you that. It would be in the flowing of that understanding, that knowledge, that wisdom. I'm trying to entice you to really desire to have something so much greater than what we've tapped into at this point. So he talks about this red sports car. Then he points out the lady. This is the lady. He says, that's your license tag number? She said, I don't know my license tag. He said, go out and see. She went to the parking lot. She came back. I wrote it down when he said it. She came back and she said, that's it. Exactly. Now, from what I saw there, this woman's life is going to be saved by the prophetic word which came out of a really big river somewhere, not just your usual prophetic gift. Now, there's all kinds and levels of prophesying, and I think that prophecy is wonderful. But I feel that it needs to be anointed of God, and I believe that the prophet needs to stay before God, and I believe that it's not even acceptable unless it's judged. because this is what the Word of God teaches about it. Well, he continued on, and he began to say things along this line, telling people their names, their addresses, where they worked. Now, someone would come forward, and he said to the lady, "The Lord showed me that you have three children, but I see four standing here because this one was an adopted child, and these three were your own birth children." And she said, "That's exactly right." And so he would know the person, he would know their names, he would know their families, he would know what their plans were, but he would speak something into their lives that would bring to them blessing, security, understanding, that would help them enlarge their perspective. It would give them directions in some cases. Sometimes it would be about their personal ministry. You know, when a prophetic person speaks something to you directly about your ministry, it's really encouraging, isn't it? I've been prophesied to in so many places. Some place we were, Judy was with me someplace, and she said, "Well, at first I didn't know if I believed in this guy, but then he pulled Sue out to prophesy to, so I figured, yeah, he's genuine." Because everywhere we would go, the Lord would have someone prophesy because he knew that it was going to take a while for me to believe all the things that I needed to believe. So when Victor, but Victor only did this for, I don't think it was more than 20 minutes, something like that. And when he cut it off, I couldn't believe it. I thought, no, let's do this at least a day or two. It was so wonderful. And my first thought was, I set his airline ticket too close. He's nervous about it. He thinks he has to leave. Well, he wasn't even on Earth, so he didn't know about his airline ticket. It wasn't that at all. So not that time, but later on when I was talking to him, he told me about it. And here's what he said. He said, "I prophesied a little, and then everything was open to me. And I saw everything. And I prophesied some of it, and inside myself, I felt I'm not quite ready for this. And I closed it." Imagine getting into a place where you learn so much, you just realize you're not ready for it. I'm telling you what, that beats going to church. It beats just coming and hear the choir sing again. It beats all these things that we've done all our lives. I'm so glad that I discovered the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Spirit, His wonderful love, the reality of how He is the one that empowers us to do the things that God has called us to do. So you could say that it's like seven rivers and the gifts would be like tributaries coming out from the rivers. Or the seven spirits would be like the broadband and the gifts would be the dial-ups. Oral Roberts would be shown by the Spirit if a person needed healing from a physical infirmity or if it was a demon. He would show him which one it was. That helps so much. Sometimes we're trying to cast out demons when people just need to take some aspirin. Then he would know how to pray. Here's my point. Then he would know how to pray. First the word and then the power. That's the way this couple of spirits worked together that I just shared with you. First you get the counsel and then you get the might. It's the same understanding with, if we could go into it today, with wisdom and understanding and with the spirit of knowledge and the spirit of fear of the Lord. It's just fascinating and beautiful when you start looking and look, you can look through the book of Acts and see how these things work and how they work together. And I really do believe that in the book of Acts, they very quickly moved into another realm. And that's why that they evangelized the known world in their time. They lived by the Holy Spirit. The scripture says in Acts chapter 9 that they continued in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. That's the koinonia. And that the Holy Spirit became like their best friend. And that they were always fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. You know, much of our praying is done without hearing anything. I'm just saying, here's a way to get up higher. And I know that when we get together with a group of people and we hear something and we pray on that, it could just be three or four words. But we heard something first. Then when we pray, something really happens. John 7:37-39, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let's do it like he really did it. The scripture says he actually cried out. He stood up on a high place and he said, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. And out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. How different is that from, have you been prayed for? Do you believe in the baptism? Do you know you can speak in tongues? Silly. We're so silly and don't know how desperate we are. How desperate we are. But this spake he, verse 39, of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For, as I said to you earlier, the Holy Ghost was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Here are the rivers he's prepared for us to have coming forth out of us. The Holy Spirit in us has been sent to do his work till Jesus returns. And this is why it's so important that you allow these rivers to flow through you. We could be alive with wisdom and power and counsel and might. All the things that he sent from his throne. Will we give ourselves to really understand and embrace the Holy Spirit and his work? Or will we just keep giving in to that temptation to just do it? Make our own decisions, where to go, when to go, how to do things, who to do it with. We just go with our preferences. We're not listening for that word that tells us what to do and when to do it. Tommy Bates recently on a program, he made this statement. He was so impassioned. It was at a youth conference. And full, thank God, full. And he made this statement. He said, we have spent years of travail working our fingers to the bone, faithfully seeking God and reaching out. And now what will you, younger generation, do with this? Will you continue the revelation and the work that God gave us to do? And you know, the Holy Ghost gave me a quick answer. Not unless they receive the Holy Spirit in the same power that those people have it. They won't even like that work without the Holy Spirit. It'll just be weird and shaky and we don't even understand it. We've got to lay hold on his truth in order to continue the momentum of a church with power. Now finishing. I ran across this word when I was studying for this in the book of Acts. It will really do you good to study the book of Acts, because in the book of Acts, there's so many times that they receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And every time it either mentions that they received tongues or it shows that there was something supernatural happened. And I don't know where. Well, of course, we came up with a doctrine that went out with the apostles. The apostles didn't even go out. I think we know that here. And so, because that has been taught, this is one of the reasons that I write books. In my book, I will tell about how many times the Holy Spirit spoke to me when we were building this work, and how he spoke specific things to me, and how he taught me how to pray for specific things, and then how he would answer those prayers, how he taught us to pray for revival, and then he taught us how to pray in revival. And then he taught us about missions and how to go into the mission field and how to receive. And thank God he's still sending us people from the mission field. That, how many of you know that Amukta carries an anointing? That's why he sent her here. It's so that she could continue her education at the same time continue her God experience. He didn't want her to get stale. There's no need to be smart if you're stale in the spirit. You can make money, but you can't take it with you. And so as I was reading through the book of Acts, and I saw how many times Peter made this statement, repent and be baptized, and you shall receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He used the word baptism. It is the Greek word baptizo. There is a baptism in the Holy Spirit that we are to receive subsequent to being born again. Now, without it, there's no need to struggle on. I mean, you're going to get so tired. You're going to get so weary. As John Lake said, I found that now I loved what I was doing and I did everything with joy. And when I get fresh in fillings of the Spirit, what happens to me is sometimes it's hard for me to sleep at night. I just can't wait till tomorrow. That's how the Holy Spirit makes you feel when you're doing His work. And then I noticed that in Acts chapter 4, they were all praying, and they prayed a great prayer. We've prayed it here sometimes in our prayer meetings. And after they prayed that great prayer, the scripture says, the place that they were in was shaken, and they were all filled. It used the word filled. These people that had been baptized in the Holy Spirit were now filled with the Spirit, but it uses a different word. It's a word that is, it means more like completed, or received the rest of what they needed. And there's two words. One is endue, E-N-D-U-E. The other one is imbue, I-M-B-U-E. And when they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they were imbued. As they got it inside, they got it all inside. It actually transformed them. But then when the Holy Spirit is outpoured on you, that's an endowment. It's like you are clothed. It's like the Lord wants you to be full of the Holy Ghost inside and outside. And if the work hadn't been done, then He arranges for another filling to get the final thing finished. Now, that doesn't mean you won't continue to receive fillings. I believe you will. I think the Lord will continue to do works where you will have encounters with God. You might even have an experience where you'll wonder if you ever had the Holy Spirit before. I've had people say they had experience where they wonder if they were ever saved. Mary Alice, in fact, said that to me. That all her life she was one of these denominational people, born again person. But when I came and preached the truth and she got really born again, she said, I don't think I was ever saved. You know what can happen, church? You can listen to the Word of God and start responding to it, and you can really get something in the Holy Ghost. It's not just a game. It's not just something we talk about. It's not just a doctrine. It's not just a charismatic thing that seems exciting. It is the real power of God. And if we have it like people had it in the book of Acts, or like John Lake and other people have had it, we could really set people free. We could really bring healing. We could really bring deliverance. And we could expect that the Spirit of God would permeate the place every time we got together, because each of you would be so full of the Holy Spirit. One of the last two Sundays, I prayed for people that to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and He's been so faithful. And some of you still need to be freed up. You need to have more endowment, some kind of a different thing that the Holy Ghost does. By the way, hey, none of us know all there is to know about this, but thank God we know a few things we can tell you about. Isn't this good? Because what we do know is pretty exciting. And I do believe that He wants us to have so much more. Every one of us, He wants every one of us to have so much more of His Holy Spirit. I want you to stand in His presence today. Now, this morning, I want you just to open your heart to the Holy Spirit as someone who loves you and wants to give you more of himself. And I just want us to appeal to the Holy Spirit to start doing that work in us. I don't think it's just, I do believe that you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit by the laying on the hands of the apostles. But now I'm talking to you today about a deeper work of the Spirit where you can start tapping into the rivers. The sevenfold Spirit of God. Go on before maybe even leapfrog from the place. A quantum leap from where you are. It comes through faith, you know. First you got to believe it. So how many can say, I believe today that I can come into something beyond. I'm willing to soar with the eagles. I believe I'm better than this. I believe God has more for me than this. And I want to move on from this place. Come, Holy.